the Apostle Paul. There's quite a bit in the scriptures concerning Paul and his travels, his missionary journeys. The last study we had was concerning Paul's voyage to Rome. He had been a prisoner in Caesarea for 2 years, and he had appealed to Caesar. And it was God's will for Paul to travel to Rome, and he traveled. I think it took about two and a half years for them to reach Rome. And of course, there was the shipwreck. And this, Paul tells us that this was the fourth shipwreck that he was involved in. On this voyage to Rome, he traveled, I think it was 1,920 miles by sea and 210 miles by land. And so this evening, we'd like to study concerning his first Roman captivity. They finally reached Rome, and then he was in captive, he was in prison here in Rome, and this was in 61 through 63 A.D. We notice his first Roman captivity. After his fateful voyage, Paul and his companions arrived at Rome, where he was placed under house arrest. In Acts 28 and verse 16, it says, "Now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with a soldier who guarded him." And so we notice here that Paul was permitted to dwell by himself. Of course, there was a soldier there that guarded him, that watched him. So he had some freedom here, even though he was a prisoner in Rome. We notice that he waited 2 years before he could make his appeal before Caesar. In Acts 28 and verse 30, it says, "Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him." And so here it tells us that he had a rented house. No doubt also there was a guard that was guarding him, but he was allowed to receive guests, receive people that would come to him, and he would talk with them and study with them. Paul was not idle during these 2 years. In Acts 28, verse 30 and 31, it says, "Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house, received all that came to him, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him." And so here Paul was busy preaching the kingdom of God, teaching things concerning Jesus Christ. And it says he had all confidence. He had faith and trust in God. And no one was forbidding him in preaching Jesus Christ. And so he received many visitors, and he taught them things concerning the kingdom of God. He likely wrote several letters to churches and Christians at this time. At the close of the book of Acts, we're given an indication of what it must have been like during those 2 years, as we read his meetings with Jewish leaders. And so not long after Paul came to Rome, he had a meeting with the Jewish leaders there in Rome. And so he called for the leaders of the Jews to come and talk to him. In Acts 28 and verse 17, it came to pass that after 3 days, that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. And he explained to these Jews why he was there and the reason for his appeal to Caesar. In Acts 28, verse 17, beginning, says, "So when they had come together, he said to them, 'Men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go, because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you, to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain.'" And so he had done nothing against the Jews. He explained this to the leaders here in Rome. But he was compelled, he said, to appeal to Caesar. He said it was for the hope of Israel he was bound in chains. And so here he was making his defense to these Jews here in Rome. The Jewish leaders desired to learn more, to hear more from the Apostle Paul. In Acts 28, verse 21 and 22, "And then they said to him, 'We neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think. For concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against.'" And so the Jews here in Rome had not received any letter, they had not received any words from the Jews there in Judea that had made accusations against the Apostle Paul. They were silent. They didn't send anything. And they wanted to hear what he had to say about the sect spoken against everywhere. Now there they called the church a sect. Of course, God or the apostles or the Christians did not call it a sect. It's usually the enemies of the church that called it a sect. And they said it's everywhere spoken against because they were preaching Christ and Him crucified, preaching the truth. It was spoken against by many. We noticed there was a second meeting between Paul and the Jews here at Rome, the leaders. And on an appointed day, they came to his lodging. In Acts 28, verse 23, "So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained, solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening." And so we notice here that he explained to them about the law of Moses and the prophets concerning Jesus Christ. And he studied with them from morning till evening. He was busy teaching them the gospel of Jesus Christ, trying to convert them. He explained and testified of the kingdom of God concerning Jesus. It's like Philip when he was preaching to the Samaritans in Acts 8 and 12. When Philip says, "But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." And so when Philip preached the gospel here in Samaria, there were those who believed and they were baptized. And Paul was preaching to those Jews at Rome concerning Jesus Christ, teaching them out of the law of Moses and the prophets. Paul taught them from the law of Moses and the prophets, lasting from morning until evening. We notice that the reaction was mixed. Some were persuaded, while others didn't believe. In Acts 28 and verse 24, "Some were persuaded by the things which that were spoken, and some disbelieved." And so we see different reactions to the Word of God. No doubt there were some that had good and honest hearts, and they received the teachings of the Apostle Paul here, but there were some that would not believe. They departed after Paul warned them. In Acts 28, verse 25 through 28, "So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, 'Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it.'" And so here Isaiah had prophesied how that there would be those that would reject the truth, that close their ears and their eyes and their understanding and their hearts to the truth. But he says that the gospel or salvation of God would be sent to the Gentiles because many of the Jews rejected him. they departed and disputed among themselves after they had studied with the Apostle Paul. In Acts 28 and verse 29, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed, had a great dispute among themselves. And so they couldn't agree among themselves concerning the teachings of Paul. The closing verses in Acts indicate that similar meetings were repeated time and again during the 2 years of Paul's first Roman captivity. In Acts 28, verse 30 and 31, then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house, received all that came to him, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. And when we turn to Paul's letters, we learn more about the Apostle Paul and what happened while he was a prisoner here at Rome. We notice the circumstances in Rome. He had certain companions at Rome. Timothy was one that was a companion to Paul when he was in Rome. The young disciple Paul took with him on his second journey, according to Acts 16. Timothy was a young man. Yes, his father was a Greek, his mother was a Jew, he was a faithful Christian. And he was a good disciple following with the Apostle Paul. He joined Paul on several salutations in letters written from Rome, Philemon, Colossians, and Philippians. Timothy was sent to Philippi in behalf of Paul, according to Philippians 2. Then there's Epaphras. His visit to Paul prompted the writing of Colossians, according to Colossians 1. And so here was Epaphras also visited Paul. He sent his greetings to his beloved brethren at Colossae, according to Colossians 4. He was described as Paul's fellow prisoner in Philemon's 1, verse 23. And then there was Onesimus, Antiochus. They also were companions with the Apostle Paul. Onesimus was a runaway slave converted to Christ who was sent along with the letter to his master Philemon. Yes, he had converted Onesimus while he was here in Rome. Onesimus and Antiochus took Paul's letter to the Colossians, according to Colossians chapter 4. Antiochus was from Asia, and he took Paul's letter to the Ephesians also, according to Ephesians the 6th chapter. Also, some more companions of the Apostle Paul was Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, Justus, according to Philemon's 24th verse. Marcus is also known as John Mark, and he was a companion with the Apostle Paul, and he is mentioned several times here in the Scriptures. Aristarchus was Paul's fellow prisoner, according to Colossians 4, and in Acts, in different places, it mentions Aristarchus. Then, of course, there was Demas, who later forsook Paul. Yes, he forsook him while he was here at Rome. Then there's Luke, the beloved physician, who traveled a lot with the Apostle Paul. And because of his traveling with Paul, we have the book of Acts that we can read and study about the life of Paul. And there was Justus, was a fellow worker with the Apostle Paul. Epaphroditus also was a companion with Paul. He brought a gift to Paul from the Philippians and brought Paul's letter from Rome to the Philippians, according to the letter to the Philippians. And so Paul had quite a few companions that visited him here in Rome. And then there was Paul's preaching. Paul continued preaching despite his chains being in bondage. In Colossians 1, verse 28, he writes to the Colossians. He says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And so here he wrote how he was teaching and preaching Jesus Christ, that he might present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. Paul requested prayer for wisdom and boldness to continue preaching the gospel, according to his letter in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Also, he converted Onesimus, the runaway slave, according to Philemon. He converted some of the palace guards and some that were in Caesar's household. Just think of some of these in Caesar's household and guards. He converted them to Christ, according to Philippians, the first chapter and the fourth chapter. And so he was able to convert many people to Christ. The gospel cannot be bound. We notice Paul's letters from Rome. He wrote several letters while he was a prisoner here in Rome. The epistle to Philemon in 61 or 62 AD, he wrote this letter to Philemon from Rome while he was here in prison. In Philemon 1 in verse 1, says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. And so Timothy was with Paul when he wrote this letter to Philemon. He calls him our beloved friend and fellow laborer. The purpose of his letter to Philemon was to secure forgiveness for Onesimus. Onesimus had been a slave and he had run off. And Paul came in contact with him and converted him to Christ. And so here the slave was sent back to his master by Paul, asking the master to forgive the slave for what he had done. The theme of this lesson is restoration of a slave brother. The brief outline of this letter, there were greetings by Paul to Philemon. There was thanksgiving and prayer for Philemon. There's a plea in behalf of Onesimus for him to accept him back. Then the concluding remarks in this letter in the last few verses of Philemon. And then Paul wrote the letter, the epistle to the Colossians while he was here in Rome in the year 61 or 62 AD. Notice here in the beginning of his letter to the Colossians, Colossians 1 verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here Paul writing this letter to the Colossians. He was in prison, a prisoner, and he writes these letters to encourage Christians in other parts of the world. The purpose of this letter was to warn against the Colossian heresy, against false teaching that might be brought into the church. The theme of his letter was Christ, the fullness of God, the preeminent, all-sufficient Savior. A brief outline of Colossians. We don't have time to go through the book of Colossians. There was the preeminence of Christ in the first chapter. Also, he wrote for them to be rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. The warnings against the Colossians' heresy. The Christian solution in the third chapter and the fourth chapter. And then he mentions Paul's companions in the fourth chapter. And then there was the epistle or the letter to the Ephesians, which was also written in 61 or 62 AD. Ephesians 1 and verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. And so here was Paul, a prisoner in Rome, writing to the Ephesians. Yes, the purpose was to remind Christians of their spiritual blessings and responsibilities. The theme of his letter was the believer's riches in Christ. The brief outline of this letter was the doctrine, our riches are in Christ Jesus. The duty, our responsibilities to Christ in the fourth chapter to the sixth chapter of Ephesians. Then there was the epistle or letter to the Philippians, which was written around 63 AD. In Philippians 1 in verse 1, it says, Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, who at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. And so again, Timothy is with Paul when he writes this letter to the Philippians. The purpose of his letter was to thank the church for their gift and encouragement and faithfulness. Yes, the Philippians had sent support to help the Apostle Paul financially. The theme of his letter to the Philippians was to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, he said, I say rejoice. The brief outline of his letter was the situation that was at Rome, the exhortation to behavior worthy of the gospel, plans involving Timothy in the second chapter of Philippians, warnings against Judaism, the third chapter, exhortations to unity, joy, and peace in the fourth chapter of Philippians, thanksgiving for their generous gift in the fourth chapter. The letters of Paul exemplify the power of letter writing, especially when limited by circumstances. And so Paul wrote some wonderful letters while he was in prison there at Rome, letters that we read and study often. We notice Paul's love and care for the churches, evidenced in the epistles he wrote during this time. For example, he wrote to the Colossians, to the church that he had not seen. In Colossians 2 and verse 5 says, For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And so he had never seen them before, but he was writing to encourage them to remain faithful to God. Then he sent to the Ephesians, to the church with whom he had spent much time. Ephesians 1 verse 15 and 16. He says, Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And so here again, he's encouraging Christians at Ephesus. Paul loved the church at Philippi. They were dear to his heart. In Philippians 1, verses 3 through 5, Paul wrote, He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. And so Paul was thankful for the brethren, the Christians there at Philippi, and he was encouraging them. His prayers proved his love for them. Paul prayed for the Colossians. He prayed for the Ephesians. I'm sure he prayed for the Philippians. He prayed for, I'm sure, many, many that he knew. Paul came in contact with many people, and I'm sure in his prayers he prayed for everyone that he could think of. Paul's love and concern for others, despite his own circumstances, exemplifies the mind of Christ. In Philippians 2, verse 4 and 8, Paul wrote to the Philippians, he says, Let each of you look out, not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And so here Paul was encouraging Christians to think not only of your own selves, but think of others, like our Lord Jesus Christ did. Paul's faith and joy in his suffering. Yes, he rejoiced in his sufferings. You know, that's not an easy thing to do, be suffering and rejoice. In Colossians 1, 24, it says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church. And so he rejoiced in his sufferings for Christ. He sought to magnify Christ in his suffering. In Philippians 1 and verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. And so he wanted Christ to be magnified in his body, in his life, whether it be living or whether he dies. Paul's imprisonment gave him an opportunity to practice what he had been preaching all along. Paul's expectation of being released. And so he was in prison here at Rome for two and a half years, and he expected to be released. He planned to visit Philemon. In verse 22 of Philemon, he says, "But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you." And so he was praying and hoping that he would be released, that he could visit with Philemon. Also, he wrote the church at Philippians. In Philippians 2:24, he says, "But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly." And so he had the feelings that he was going to soon be released, that he would have opportunity to visit with the Philippians. In conclusion, Paul was released from prison in Rome, according to his letters to Timothy and Titus. There's also the testimony of those who lived in the latter part of the first century, men like Jerome and Clement of Rome, historians that wrote about the Apostle Paul, how he had been released from prison. Paul wrote from Rome in Philippians 1, verses 12 through 14. He says, "But I want you to know, brethren, the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard, to all the rest, that my chains are in Christ, and the most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." And so Paul says that because of his being a prisoner here at Rome, it was for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. He said it caused others to have more faith and more courage in preaching the gospel of Christ because he was a prisoner here at Rome. And so it was for good. We learn from Paul that good can come out of evil. You know, it'd be difficult for us, I'm sure, if we were put in prison for several years at a time. He'd been in prison for 2 years in Caesarea, and then he was on the shipwreck, the boat to Rome, 2 years in Rome. And so he had a difficult time. He had been beaten and stoned, and yet he didn't lose his faith and his trust in God. Bad things sometimes happen to good people. And so Paul is a good example for us. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You need to obey the gospel. You cannot be saved if you're not a Christian, if you haven't made preparations for heaven. To become a Christian, you must hear the word of God. You must believe and have faith in God. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then be baptized to wash away your sins. The blood of Jesus will cleanse you. The Lord will add you to His church, and then live a faithful Christian life, and you can go home to heaven when this life is over. And so if you need to obey the gospel, why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song?
Jesus saved, Jesus saved.